the mainstream media, but they're not ignored here. Hear these interviews on my podcast at www.kbu.fm/between us. Listen to the people who want to lead you in 2014. Oregon State judicial, legislative, and gubernatorial candidate interviews at my podcast, www.kbu.fm/between us.
The time is now 5 p.m. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is a special membership drive edition of the KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, India elects a new prime minister.
The Federal Communications Commission proposes new rules on the internet.
And the Environmental Protection Agency's plan on how to clean up the Portland Harbor gets delayed by at least 2 years.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, May 16th, 2014. We're currently in our membership drive at KBOO, and we'd like to urge you to become a member. You can call 877-500-5266. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. India's opposition leader Narendra Modi swept into power as prime minister-elect on Friday. Voters delivered a crushing verdict on the corruption scandals and flagging economic growth that had plagued India in recent years. The Indian National Congress Party, which has controlled India's government for nearly all of its post-colonial history, conceded defeat. The election results gives Mr. Modi the strongest mandate of any Indian leader since Rajiv Gandhi took office in 1984 on a wave of sympathy that followed the assassination of his mother, Indira Gandhi. The elections came during a period of rapid transition in Indian society as urbanization and economic growth break down generations-old voting patterns. News that the business-friendly Modi and his party were headed for victory sent the Indian stock market soaring and the rupee strengthened against the dollar. Modi spread a message of hope and revitalization at thousands of rallies across the country. Although Modi leads a conservative Hindu nationalist party, his election is widely interpreted as a rejection of old ideas about caste and religion in favor of change, development, and decisive leadership.
Earlier today, protesters in 18 cities across Brazil rallied against the economic conditions in the country, which will hold the World Cup in less than 1 month. The movement, nicknamed Occupy the Cup, criticizes Brazilian leaders for spending so much public funding on huge sports stadiums that have cost billions of dollars. Signs claim that the costs associated with rebuilding one stadium could have funded 200 schools. Others appealed for general strikes, for all workers to walk off the job. In Sao Paulo, over 5,000 teachers marched as part of a strike for higher wages. Police there used rubber bullets and tear gas to disperse the crowd in an Itaquera district near the stadium that will host the tournament's opening match. About 1,000 people took to the streets in Rio de Janeiro, the country's second largest city. And finally, in Recife, one of Brazil's most violent cities, protests were muted as military personnel roamed the streets after a spate of 24 murders in a single day this week. About 3 million Brazilians and an additional 60,000 foreign tourists are expected to travel to the hosting cities for the 2014 World Cup.
In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, today an explosion in the eastern province of Nangarhar killed at least one person and injured 27 others. The explosion rocked the Gandhi Ki Jal district from 9 a.m. local time. Nangarhar is one of the most unstable provinces in Afghanistan, where attacks occur on a weekly basis. Moving over there to the southern part of the country, a policeman killed 5 locals in the Kandahar province. Following an argument, the officer opened fire on 4 of his family members, along with his commander, who was investigating the dispute. KBOO volunteers have been doing a great job bringing you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to show your gratitude. Joining us are Seth and Mario to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Thank you very much. You are listening to the local news right here, right now. And we would like to urge you right now to call 877-500-5266 to support community-supported, community-funded radio right here. And we would like to thank Margalo from Northwest Portland. She is a renewing member. And we need renewing members. We need new members. To please call 877-500-5266. Everybody here, right here, right now, that's on the radio, on the boards, is a volunteer. And that's how we are run, is by volunteers. We have 6 paid staff members, but we have over 500 volunteers, 4,500 members, and 45,000 listeners. Now, we need a lot of these listeners to turn into members. So if you could please call 877-500-5266, even if you can only afford, let's say, 6 cents a day, which happens to be $20 a year, we would love to get that hard-earned cash from you. If you want to support non-corporate, non-commercial radio, then you need to call 877-500-5266. It is really, really urgent time to call. We're in the final stretch, the last 2 days here of this spring fundraising drive, and we need to meet our goals. So please be a part of community-funded, community-supported radio. It is the number again is 877-500-5266. This is KBOO.FM on the internets. KBOO Community Radio Spring Membership Drive, please, 877-500-5266. No matter what you can afford, it's anything can be helpful. I mean, and we know there's folks out there that are doing all right, and maybe you can give a little bit more, you know, and this is how we can take the power back from some of these wannabe corporate overlords. These are our airwaves, and you can be a part of the liberation of the airwaves by supporting KBOO, community-funded, community-supported radio. That number again is 877-500-5266.
Not only are you supporting KBOO Community Radio, it's a blow against the empire. Your dollars. Come join us, Community Radio, KBOO.FM, 877-500-5266. Help us plant trees and claim your gift. Help us stay in business here. We're your community radio. You are the community. We are the radio. Give us a call. Donate.
Now, again, it's a donation of $75, which comes out to 21 cents a day or $1.47 a week, will get you either a book of your choice. We have a few different books. We have Democracy at Work, A Cure for Capitalism by Richard Wolff. We got some other awesome books like Project Censored 2014 by Mikey Huff and Project Censored.
And the partnership with Friends of the Trees. Exactly. Every donation you give us of $75 not only helps KBOO FM and gets you your gift, but will plant a tree somewhere in the Portland, Vancouver area. That's just an extra bonus. That's whipped cream on the delicious cake that is KBOO FM.
Exactly. And that number again is 877-500-5266. We need your help keeping this awesome radio station up and running. All volunteers run all the time. We're doing it, and we need that capital to keep the oil. Grease the gears,
the wheel of community radio.
Yes, so we're going to hand it over back to the local news. Thank you very much.
Yesterday, the Federal Communications Commission put out a proposed plan on rules governing the internet. It could potentially lead to prioritized access and speed to certain websites controlled by prices set by the providers. The FCC has opened the debate on their proposed rules, which consumer advocates see as a threat to net neutrality. KBOO's Ryan Katz has more.
On Thursday, the Federal Communications Commission passed the proposed rules governing net neutrality. It is the first step in adopting new regulations that could create fast lanes for internet traffic. Net neutrality has to do with the interaction between websites and so-called internet service providers, or ISPs.
When we use that acronym, we're referring to companies like Verizon or Comcast. These are the companies that send you a bill every month for you to get broadband high-speed internet access.
April Glazer from the Electronic Frontier Foundation says that websites that can afford to pay higher premiums will have their data load faster.
But when we talk about net neutrality, we're generally talking about traffic shaping, whether or not ISPs will speed up or slow down users' access to certain websites based on whether or not those websites or the owners of those companies pay the ISP a certain amount of money.
This isn't the first time that the principles of net neutrality have been at issue. For example, in 2007.
We found that Comcast was blocking traffic that was going over the peer-to-peer network BitTorrent. They did this because they assumed that there was some kind of copyright violation happening on that site, but they actually had no way of knowing that because it was encrypted. Essentially, they were acting as a censor.
And now the FCC is proposing new rules. So what do they actually say? Basically, the rules would allow ISPs to
offer paid prioritization or paid faster access to users. That's completely antithetical to the principles of network neutrality. They're not putting this into rule. They're proposing it as a possible scenario.
At stake, she says, are our civil liberties over the internet.
I mean, it's one thing to have network neutrality rules or to not have network neutrality rules. It's a whole other thing to put it on the books into policy saying that discrimination is permitted. You know, that's even worse than having no rules.
Another question raised by the FCC this week was whether to reclassify an internet service provider as a common carrier. Basically, now broadband internet is similar to cable TV. It is classified as an information service, as if it's an extra entertainment service, not a basic communication service that many of us need to participate in our community or have essential political information. Instead, they're considering classifying it as a telecommunication service.
The telecommunication service is like the phone lines that we used to talk on, radio and television. All of these services are subject to public interest obligations that information services aren't.
Glazer says that this reclassification could be beneficial for net neutrality, but also warns of the potential downside that it could lead to.
Because it opens the door for the FCC to have a lot of power over other aspects of the internet, because the FCC very much is a captured regulatory agency that works more in the interest of industry than in the interest of the public, or whether we trust the FCC to get it right.
As a result of the vote yesterday, the FCC opens a public comment window. Glazer sees this time as important to get the voice of the people heard by their government.
The FCC is not an elected body. They don't have constituent obligations, but they are mandated to act in the interest of the public. And the way that they do that is by opening what's called a public comment window when they make their rules. So they've issued this proposal, and now they want to hear from you.
Users can go to FCC.gov to voice their opinion. This is Ryan Katz with KBOO News.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. You can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned for Bread and Roses at 6. At 7, Hard Knock Radio. Tomorrow's weather, partly cloudy with a high of 71. Sunday, showers and cooler temperatures with a high of 63. In today's Radcast, the only citizen-led radiation count on the air, radiation levels for today are counts per minute in North Portland, high of 30. Eugene has a count of 26 CPM. In Seattle, the radiation count shows an average of 31 CPM. And Hanford, Washington has a radiation count of 32 counts per minute. EPA alert levels start at 100 CPM. More information can be found at radcast.org. On May 16, 1843, the first wagon train set out from Missouri, headed to settle the area now known as Oregon. Exactly a century later, during World War II, SS officer Jürgen Stroop detonated a bomb destroying the Great Synagogue of Warsaw, thereby ending the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto. Our quote of the day comes from feminist Adrienne Rich. She was born 85 years ago today. She said, "A revolutionary poem will not tell you who or when to kill, what and when to burn, or even how to theorize it. It reminds you where and when and how you're living and might live. It is a wick of desire."
It's 5:15, time for daily commentary from Jim Hightower.
Who says the economy is down and that consumers aren't willing to spend in order to stimulate new economic growth? The problem with gloomy economists and skittish policymakers is that they don't know where to look for signs that boom times are back, baby. For example, take auto sales. Yeah, overall, they're putzing along at a moderate to low pace, but open your eyes, people. Do you not see that Maserati sales were up 55% last year? Or that Rolls-Royce, Lamborghini, Porsche, and Bentley also produced double-digit increases? Listen to Matt Lavin, a Cleveland high roller who told the New York Times that he bought three Mercedes last year, one for $237,000, another for $165,000, and an auxiliary $97,000 number for his wife. Extravagant? It's all a matter of perspective. I look at it as I don't have a boat, Matt explains. There you go. Economics is all about having a positive attitude. So, with a booming stock market, high-tech wealth bubbling like crazy, and Fortune 500 CEOs making big bales of hay while the sun shines, what's not to like about America's economic future? An automotive lifestyle consultant told The Times, "Luxury is not a dirty word anymore." Now, isn't that a telling insight? You see, when Wall Street crashed 6 years ago, then got bailed out by Washington while the middle class sank, many of your 1%ers and higher got squeamish about living the luxurious life they deserve. But that's not the American way. Hey, if you've got it, flaunt it. This is Jim Hightower saying, surely we can all see the social value of top-end buyers who are willing to step up and make big-ticket purchases again. By leading the consumer charge, these bold luxury buyers are providing a role model that your lower classes need to do their own part in reviving America's economy.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
KBOO volunteers have been working hard to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're giving you an opportunity to show your gratitude. Joining us are Seth and Mario. They'll tell you how to get the phones ringing and the dollars coming to KBOO.
It's easy to get those phones ringing. Just call 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. And that will make those phones ring. And then you will get on the phone with one of our operators and you will help keep KBOO FM in business.
And it's a really important time of the year. It's spring, things are changing, and it's time for you to make that change part of the reality and call 877-500-5266.
You know, Mario, we are mostly community, as I'm sure a lot of our listeners know. Our community radio has 6 full-time paid staff members, 500 volunteers, 4,500 members, and 45,000 listeners. And that is where most of our money comes from. 83% of all of our funding comes directly from you during these pledge drives. Only 17% is from other local sources, mostly underwriting, vehicle donations, web ads, and of course the food that we get from the restaurants that have helped us during the fund drive, which I'm going to mention today's restaurants: Delta Park Elmers, 9848 North Whittaker Road, Ford Food and Drink, 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue. And for dinner tonight, Los Taquitos, 5832 Northeast Gleason Street. I'd like to thank these restaurants. They are the 17% of our local sources. 83% comes directly from our listeners.
And that number again is 877-500-5266. Just please pick up the phone, call. You know, if you can do $20 a year, which comes out to 6 cents a day, that'd be great. And if you could do anything more than that, that'd be great too. And remember that any contribution at the level of $75 or greater, you will get a tree planted by Friends of Trees in your name. So, you know, offset the carbon footprint,
right,
and help donate to community funded, community supported, community ran, local radio. That's just a beautiful thing. And remember, that number again is 877-500-5266.
And as we well do, as, oh, I'm sorry.
No, as well as you can get online at kboo.fm, or you could even walk in here right now at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here on the inner east side of beautiful Portland, Oregon. And it's
real easy to donate. We do monthly deductions from your bank account if that helps you out. I mean, think about it. For $7 a week, you would be giving us $365 a year. That might sound like a lot, but does $7 a week, does $1 a day sound like a lot of money? Not to me, it doesn't. And I, you know, even if you, and if you have a good job and you're actually rolling in it and you're listening to KBOO, for $19.18 a week, you will be giving us $1,000 a year. Think about that.
And that is just really, it's important that y'all folks pick up the phones, call 877-500-5266. It's really, really crucial because right now we're coming at the end of our fundraising. We don't go out and keep on fundraising like this. Once we're done, we're done. So now is the time. You know, if you've been wavering, oh, should I come? Should I call? Should I not? No, now is the time to call. We need your help. We need your funding. We need your support. And if you can't come in and volunteer, well, then you can, you can write a check, or we can take it out of your debit account, or you can just come in and give us cold, hard cash. You know,
how would they do that, Mario? How would they get in touch with us to give us their hard-earned money?
You got to call 877-500-5266. Where else can you get non-commercial, non-corporate, community-supported, community-funded radio? You
can't. Local news, great shows like Democracy Now, and the widest assortment of music you could ever hope for. We have a huge music library here. Blues, jazz, African, new folk, old folk, future folk. We have records from the future of folk music for guys who aren't even born yet. I think there's a section for that here in our music library.
And you can come in and check it out, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. You know, and any of those dollars helps. And remember, it's 877-500-5266. It's really important that y'all call in, please. We need your help. Keep the radio station going.
Support these great shows that you love. We love bringing them to you. You love listening. Help us keep them coming.
I don't like it.
Cleanup of the Portland Harbor Superfund site on the Willamette River in Portland has been delayed until at least 2017. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency originally planned to release a final cleanup plan by 2015, which will now be pushed back at least 2 years. The Portland Harbor was listed as a Superfund site in 2000 and extends 10 miles from the Broadway Bridge to the Columbia Slough at Sovies Island. Owners of the affected properties are responsible for the cleanup costs and have formed an organization called the Lower Willamette Group to help coordinate cleanup efforts. Companies included in that group are Chevron, Kinder Morgan, and Northwest Natural Gas, along with local governmental agencies, the Port of Portland and the City of Portland. The group currently pays around $3 million per year to the U.S. EPA and to the Oregon DEQ. The cleanup plan calls for the contaminated soil to be removed and hauled to a certified hazardous waste site located in eastern Oregon. At the site, the EPA has identified 29 different toxic chemicals deemed harmful to human health and another 89 chemicals listed as harmful to the environment. Mercury, PCBs, arsenic, and DDT are among the chemicals posing a significant risk to human health and currently polluting the river and shorelines within the Superfund site. Cleanup and planning costs are already over $130 million, and the entire remediation plan is expected to cost upwards of $2 billion. The EPA cites several reasons for the delay, including budget cuts and layoffs of 100 employees on the Superfund staff. In addition, Chip Humphrey, the EPA project manager for the Portland Harbor Superfund site, is retiring, and the agency states that hiring his replacement is expected to take at least 6 months.
Same-sex marriages in Oregon could begin as early as Monday, depending on whether a federal judge in Eugene lifts the state's voter-approved ban on such marriages. U.S. District Judge Michael McShane announced today that he'll issue his ruling in Oregon's high-profile gay marriage case at noon Monday. The announcement comes 2 days after McShane rejected a motion by the National Organization for Marriage to intervene in the case. That decision left no parties formally opposing same-sex marriage before the court. Oregon Attorney General Ellen Rosenblum had previously announced that her office would not defend the constitutional limit on marriage to a man and a woman. Four gay and lesbian couples are plaintiffs in an action seeking the right to marry. In Multnomah County, workers responsible for issuing marriage licenses have already indicated that they're ready to serve same-sex couples Monday if McShane opens the door with his ruling.
General Motors announced that it will pay a fine of $35 million for breaking federal safety practices. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration imposed the fine on the automaker for failing to report a defect in the ignition switch in some of its cars. The faulty switch has led to 13 fatalities. Under a new consent order, General Motors will meet with regulators monthly for the next 3 years to report every safety-related issue it finds. The fine represented the maximum penalty allowed under the law. If GM comes under criminal investigation from the Justice Department, it might be subject to greater penalties. The Justice Department fined carmaker Toyota $1.2 billion over a similar issue earlier this year.
You're listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast, the producer is Ryan Katz. Engineering is the lovely and talented Ian Gadbury. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. The podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You're listening to KBOO at 90.7 FM in Portland, in Philomath on translator K282BH at 104.3 FM, and in Hood River at 91.9 FM on translator K220HR. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. KBOO volunteers have been working hard to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening. So now we're asking you to show your gratitude. Joining us are Seth and Mario to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio and keep those phones ringing.
That number is 877-500-5266. I'd like to thank Linda and Liam for bringing us the news. My name is Mario. We got Seth right here helping out with this.
I thought I was Ani.
Fundraiser. And the number again is 877-500-5266. We need all the help you can give to the mighty, mighty KBOO.
This is your station. Remember, community radio. You are the community.
All contributions at the level of $75 or greater can have a tree planted by Friends of Trees in addition to a regular thank you gift. So that means if you donate $75, you can get a tree in your name here in the Portland area, as well as an amazing book, Save Our Unions, Dispatches from a Movement in Distress, or another amazing, a different amazing book, Democracy at Work, A Cure for Capitalism by Richard Wolff, or even another one, Project Censor, 2014 by Mikey Huff and Project Censor. Now, these books are available for those that can afford to contribute $60 or more. And remember, if you can, or if you are able to contribute $75 or more, you can get a tree in your name as well. And the number again is 877-500-5266. We need your help. We need your support. If you can't come in here and volunteer your time, but you really enjoy KBOO, become a member and donate some dollars to keep this amazing foothold in the community and stronghold in the community going and strong and powerful. And remember that number, 877-500-5266. Or you can get online at kboo.fm, or you could even walk in here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue here in Inner Southeast Portland. We love all of y'all, and we need your support.
That's right, Mario. I'm Ani. I'm really excited to be here this afternoon. And what you were saying about, you know, if you can contribute $60, if you can contribute $75, let me break it down a little bit. Because for me, you know, if I was going to come up with $60 at once, it's kind of, usually it's going to be kind of a pinch. But I can come up with a monthly donation that's easy for me. It's bite-sized chunks. And over the course of a year, I can contribute a much more significant amount of money to community radio than I would ever be able to do all at once. And I'm going to go ahead and venture a guess that that is probably the case for you, my friend, listening right now. If you can, look in your wallet. If you have $7 in your wallet right now, make a monthly commitment for $7 a month to KBOO Community Radio. Over the course of a year, that adds up to $84. You could get any of the books Mario was talking about. You'll have a tree planted in your name by Friends of Trees, and you'll know that you're doing your part to sponsor an hour of community radio. It takes about $84.